poor foreign widow who becomes the object of special grace. But secondly, I believe this passage also reminds us and teaches us that this grace that God showers upon the unwanted and the most in need is a grace that can only be received through faith. Look with me to verse 11 and onwards, where you find this very strange response of Elijah, where after asking her for some water, he actually calls her back and says, "Bring me also some bread." Now, being a prophet, we're not totally sure, but you wonder, would he not have known a little bit more about the situation that this lady was in? And she explains that actually she's only got just about enough to make one more meal and then to die. And yet he says, "Do not fear, have faith, but go and make me a bread or a piece of cake first and feed it me before you feed yourself." I believe what it's reminding us of is that as God longs to give of his grace, and either just before or while he's giving of his grace, he looks to us to trust him. Even trust that would be willing to lose everything for the sake of gaining him, or for us in gaining Christ. Now let me say that again. This lady was asked to lose everything, even her last meal, which meant a sure death. But in response to her trust, she would gain the greatest gift of all, which we'll look at in a moment. I believe this is what Jesus talks about when he tells the story or the parable of the kingdom of heaven being like a treasure which is hidden in a field, which a man stumbles upon and finds, then covers up, and in his joy he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. Or the next parable is again about the kingdom of heaven, that it's like a merchant who's in search of fine pearls, and who in finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. It's what Jesus was looking to for his disciples when he called them to follow him, to leave their nets and their boats and all that they had, their whole livelihood, in order to follow him. See, faith is not God looking to us to see if we're deserving enough or a test that we should pass, but actually faith is the only way in which we can embrace and receive and experience God's grace as God's grace. I wonder, it's not a great illustration, but I wonder if it's a little bit like abseiling. I'm not keen on heights, so abseiling is not my favorite thing. But the one thing I know is that you're standing on top of this cliff, hopefully not too high. But abseiling is one of those things where you can stand on top of that cliff and talk all about it and maybe look down or carefully look down and know all about it. But it's not until you turn around and take that step over the cliff that you really start to experience what it's like. There is an element of letting go, which is actually the most scary part of the whole abseiling. Because once you're over that edge and you start lowering down, it gets easier and easier the further down you go. Well, that's where faith comes in. That's what I believe that God is looking for from the widow. Will she trust me, even if it means losing everything? And so the question for us today is this. Could I, at the Lord's command, take out the handful of meal that was left and believe that God would still supply? Or would you be able, at the Lord's command, would you be willing to humble yourself in complete poverty of spirit and believe that Jesus' death has completely supplied for you? For people, that is the only way in which we will experience God's grace in all its fullness. By learning to let go, by learning to surrender, in order to have empty hands with which we can receive. And I do wonder this morning, what are we holding on to in our lives that keeps us from embracing the grace that God would long to give to us? We even find that her faith is tested. In verse 17 and onwards, we read that her son dies. Now, there's a huge, almost cruel irony in this. So on the one hand, food is supplied, the oil and the flour, but her future security, a son, who when grown up would be able to look after her, is actually taken from her. What security has she got left? See, she lived in a society where you don't have all the social facilities that we have, or a pension scheme, or any of that sort. Her son was really her only hope. But her son dies. Yet we see in verse 24 that the testing actually brings out her faith and confirms her faith. Because she can say to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." So people, the widow reminds us that we can serve God because of His amazing grace, which also us, having been outside of God's catchment, as it were, have received, just like the widow. But the way to start embracing that amazing grace is through faith. It is exactly what Jesus commended the New Testament widow for when He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than the rich, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty, because she put in all that she had to live on." How many times has Jesus not spoken about all? Again, what are we holding on to that gets in the way of truly enjoying and experiencing the grace of God, gaining Christ completely, even if it means losing everything? Are we willing to lay down our lives to receive His? Will God find faith with us, a faith that is trusting that He is all we need, that He is all sufficient, that He is the one that will completely satisfy? People, if we hold on even to the little that we feel we have left, our hands will not be free to receive His grace, and we will not be moved to serve Him. Because that's the third thing, isn't it? So first of all, we see this widow becoming the special object of God's grace, but that it's received through faith. Now, thirdly, I also believe that God's grace then chooses us to holiness of living. Look with me to verse 15. Verse 15, we read that in response to this crazy request, she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. Isn't that amazing? She goes and does what Elijah says. Do you know why I find this amazing? Is, see, we read this knowing the end of the story, or a lot of us. Try to read the story without knowing how it ends. She doesn't know whether her oil or her flour is going to be there the next day. She will only realize that each and every day as the days goes on. And I wonder if the weeks went on, she started to actually think, you know what? Tomorrow's going to be okay. We can't wait until then to start serving Him. God already now would like us to start trusting His grace and to realize that whatever situation we are in, whether we have a lot to give or very little, that God also calls us, just like the widow, to serve Him. And to serve Him by also joining her in feeding the prophet. Now, this has very little to do with making sure that the pastor gets 3 Christmas lunches. I had that 1 year, and it wasn't enjoyable. The first one was okay. Second one was harder. The third one, no, never again. Feeding the prophet, what does that have to do with anything? Well, by feeding the prophet, she made sure that the worker of God was sustained in order for the word of God to continue to be proclaimed and for it to continue to be heard. Well, isn't that exactly how we can serve God today? By helping to sustain God's work through the grace that we've been given. And this may mean that God is asking us to give practically, either financially or in other ways, in time or meals. Although beautifully, it's funny how the ravens provided meat and this lady can only provide bread. So bread will do. Bread is enough. Because we know that God can do so much more with the little that we bring to Him. As we know, when this little boy brought 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus fed 5,000 with them. So the little we have, we can bring to Him. But it may also be through prayer. That we pray for those who proclaim God's Word. Not just here, but also in our review group, in our back groups. And to pray that God's Word will be faithfully proclaimed and that it will be heard and people will respond. But we can also help feed the prophet by participating and doing our thing and serving wherever we can and whatever our abilities still are. I read a commentary this week and it reminded me of even the joy of how God works to build His church. And from a pastor's perspective, I was thinking actually how we need widows to realize that they're the object of special grace and that they will respond to serve Him and to serve Him well. Because that is how the work of God and the worker of God and the Word of God here is sustained. And we even, if you read on, this is the way that God makes Elijah ready for maybe his biggest test yet when he's on Mount Carmel with the Baal worshippers. But he was blessed, he was prepared by this amazing, nameless widow up north in a foreign country. God is good. How will we respond to Him? Well, let me finish with one more thought. Because we've been focusing on the widow. And I do hope you're encouraged. I hope you're also challenged to not just think, yeah, I want God's grace, but just to sort out my life. Or I just want it because I would like to go to heaven. No, the only fruit that grace brings forth, that should be brought forth, is service. So we're also called to participate, just like she did, in serving at God's work. But the final thing is this. This portion of the Bible, just as any part of the Bible, teaches us the great gospel of Jesus, doesn't it? Because ultimately what happens? Well, in verse 23, we read that actually, verse 22 and 23, we read that the Lord listens to the voice of Elijah and that the life of the child came into him again and the son revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Now, I explained a little bit that in that society, that son was even more important than the flour and the oil. As I said, that was the only hope. That the gift of her son really was the ultimate gift of life that God could give her through the prophet Elijah. But it's as if Elijah says to us, not Luke, your son, but Luke, the son. Luke, the son of God, lives. Because just as this son was to provide ultimately the security and the life that the widow would have needed long beyond Elijah's time with her, so God gives us of His ultimate grace. He gives us life through His son, who was also dead but was raised to life. As John said, He was the Lamb of God who was slain for the sin of the world. But just like the widow, that gift can also be ours if we realize how God has been pouring out His special grace on us and how He's challenging us today that in faith we should surrender to Him. It may be the hardest thing for us to do, and that is something that we've ever done. But I wonder, do you think the widow of Zarephath ever regretted what she did? Neither will you. Why don't we pray? Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your amazing grace. Thank you that you are the God of the fatherless and the widow. And if anyone is here today who is either maybe truly a widow, or maybe even fatherless, that they may know that they are an object of your special grace. But it's not just them, it's also anyone else who's feeling weak, maybe even unseen or forgotten. May they be blessed and encouraged this morning to know that your grace is there for them, to sustain them, but ultimately also to give life. Lord, help us then, if we maybe have known about this grace, but have never taken that step to even being willing to lose everything, absolutely everything, to take that last hand of meal. But as an act of true trust, help us to surrender to you today. Not knowing what may happen, but being reminded through this amazing faith of this widow that those who put their trust in you will never be put to shame, because you are a good God. You are a caring God. And you long for us to not just receive your grace, but then in response to serve you and to say, Lord, what can I do in your church to make sure that your word will continue to be proclaimed and heard? How can I sustain those who are like Elijah, proclaiming your amazing news and the good news of Jesus? Oh Lord, help us to respond in faith and in service with zeal and excitement and with joy, to know that what you're asking of us isn't a burden but is a great privilege. But Lord, thank you ultimately that this is a pointer towards you, Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Help us to look to you, to know and believe that you are truly alive, and that by looking to you and to trust in you, we will have eternal life. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing and encouragement through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.